Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back to the Meta Mindshift Show. Hey, y'all. I am happy that you're here. Man, it is Tuesday again, and we are here today, and we are talking about the metaverse. Metaverse, 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 metaverse. I am never, ever going to get sick of saying that, I don't think. Well, I'm not sick of saying it right now. We are talking about the meta mind shift. And that is the shift that your mind takes when it comes time to think about the metaverse. This is the Meta Mind Shift Show. My name is Technical. No, it's not. My real name is Nicole Maxwell, and I am really happy to have all of you guys here and everybody here watching. Thank you for tuning in. We have lots of cool things in store for you today. We have had a fantastical week, as we always do, in the world of the metaverse and the news of the metaverse and the things that go on in the metaverse. The metaverse is coming, and it's being built up by people like you, by people like me, by people like your business every single day. And so there are people out, and they are out and about creating. They are creating on the blockchain, and they're putting together the power of 3D imagery, and they're putting together the power of their imaginations, and those imaginations are soaring. And we're seeing AI take the stage. We saw some robots roll out this week. Not one, but two robots rolled out this week. We saw that come from a couple different organizations out there. And so robots are becoming front and center. We know that AI technology is changing the game when it comes to things like being able to text to thought. So thought to text or thought to output, text to creation. And so we're seeing that with music. People are being able to use their words and have music come out of those words by technology. So meaning AI is artificial intelligence. We're seeing people like me create artwork with their words and their thoughts by putting them together. And that has now gone extremely mainstream as some of these new tools have come out that people are using to create AI-generated art. And we are seeing development that requires no code. We've been seeing that for a long time. The underlying thing behind all of these things has been technology. And so technology is on the spur. We're on the spur of a technical innovation that has been happening. The shift has been driving us forward for a little bit now. I won't say how long it is, but it has been definitely coming to us. And so, you know, now it's starting to be actualized. So those are things that are happening kind of under the covers, underneath, in someone's basement. These are the creations that are being made, and they're being rolled out one after another, after another, after another. And some of them are really, really great. Others scare the heck out of some of us. So it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, what are we doing? But in other ones, it is amazing what we can do and what the possibilities are for the way that we engage and interact in the future. And so we have a lot of really cool things that are happening. And we're going to talk about some of those. We're going to get in depth on what it looks like to be a woman in technology. We're also going to be driving things forward, taking a step at looking at some of these AI tools and checking out what the output can be from some of them, as well as just taking a minute to reflect on where we've come from and what it has been like over the last few years, and where we are today and where we think we're headed next. This is the Meta Mind Shift Show. My name is Nicole Maxwell. Some people call me Technical, others call me the Metaverse Goddess, but either way, I am happy that you're here with me today. I am very elated. No matter where you are, if you're watching us from around the world, around the globe, make sure that you tap into the comments and let me know that you're here. Tap in and ask a question. If you're watching us live, go ahead and ask that question. We are streaming on the Black Business Network and as a part of Pod TV. So definitely supportive of that. And then also, so want to thank both of those networks. We are also streaming on YouTube. So if you're watching us live on YouTube, tap into the comments if you have any questions as they come up. We are also streaming on Amazon, Twitter, Roku, Indeed, Twitch, Hulu, and everywhere else. So Spotify, if you are here and you're watching us on Spotify, then I want to say thank you. And don't forget to subscribe, because when you subscribe, you get access. It's kind of like a backstage pass. First of all, you can actually get a backstage pass to the Meta Mindshift show. And then you can also tap in with the actual subscription, which gives you access to bloopers and to extra outtakes and things like that that we have going on behind the scenes. So I'm really happy that you guys are here today. I love kind of everything that we have going on. This is episode 9 of the Meta Mindshift show. And yeah, so we're here. I want to thank everybody once again. I'm big on thanks. I will never stop being that way. So we're going to say thank you to our sponsors. And first up is, you guessed it, Black Multiverse Enterprises. So stay connected and stay put for just 1 minute. Thank you to Black Multiverse Enterprises. Thank you to our new employees who are watching. We appreciate you guys for being out there. And thank you to all of our sponsors. We're going to hear from some of our other sponsors here in a few. But for now, I want everybody to think about this. What do you get when you cross Black people, Black culture, Black us? You cross that with tech. And then the future in media. What does that look like? Black tech futures media is what that looks like. And so we have a very special guest who is here with us today. And that is the one and only Miss Ira Revels. Ira is absolutely fantastical. And she was one of the first podcasts that I appeared on after stepping into the metaverse. And so the Black Tech Futures Media podcast was one of the first ones that I attended and was on. But, you know, she's been a friend ever since then. And so I definitely, I am elated about this because we have a good time when we get together. So today we're going to talk about AI and grants, money. And we're also going to get to catch up with her about some of the projects that she's been working on. So here in just a second, when I say her name one more time, we are going to have the one and only Miss Revels come up. And but for now, we're going to go to a quick commercial from one of our sponsors, and then we will bring her up here in just a second. So hang tight, y'all. Welcome back. Now, you guys, it is long overdue. We have with us our guest for the day, and that is the one and only Miss Ira Revels. So, Ira, please join us, and we are so happy to have you, the one and only.
The one and only. Quite literally. Like, I've out there online, there is no other Ira Revels in the world.
That's a feat, you know, because, like, I've even found another me. It's crazy. What is that like? So, you know, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to get to know you first. So I know you, but other folks don't. So, Ira, tell us who you are and what your company does and how you show up in all things blockchain and metaverse.
So who I am is a creator, is an individual who for the past 25, I guess you could say, years, I've been working in higher education. And as well, I transitioned to probably about the mid-2010s, I transitioned to my own startup and working in my own business. My primary area of interest has been digitization for a very long time. When it was literally being formed, when it was being developed, none other than by Cornell University, there was a lot of experimentation around how do we preserve documents and items that are artifacts, as well print, as well as audio and video and other types of physical paper-based documents like journals and student yearbooks and even what would be considered ancient, right? Anything over 100 years. And so I became very interested in this while I was a student at the University of Pittsburgh and focused on understanding what it was like to get involved in digital preservation. And so I did that for a number of years. And I wanted to also understand how to find the money. So grant writing was something that became very interesting to me. And then through that experience at Cornell, I was able to work with my folks that I reported to, literally as a incoming librarian, new, freshly minted at the University of Pittsburgh, into working at Cornell and coming up with a grant that was funded by the Mellon Foundation to work with historically Black colleges and university libraries. And the idea was to train the library staff on how to digitize documents and basically the founding documents and history at HBCUs. And that digital collection, which ended up having over 20 plus HBCU libraries, is still it's still up, it's still online, it's still available. It's still being maintained. And we taught the librarians how to basically digitize their founding documents, and they created a collaboratively, they created an online collection of founding and documents in history at these 25 plus HBCUs. And so, I'm a person who likes to try new things. I'm definitely a futurist and someone who is always wanting to do something that hasn't been done before. So, hence how we met, the first virtual NFT summit that was held and streamed live here in Hartford, Connecticut. And then this was 2021 or 2021? I don't even know anymore. Like, it seems so long ago,
Time goes so fast.
it seems like another lifetime, because as I always say, and we've talked about it too, Nicole, the metaverse and time in the metaverse is totally different from time in real IRL, right? Because in the metaverse, time moves faster. So if people don't recognize that IRL time is moving very quickly, right? It's even faster. So, take 2 or 3 months, that's like maybe a couple weeks if in the metaverse. I mean, it doesn't even make sense anymore. So, but that's who I am, and then what I do now is I'm working on a number of startups simultaneously. I basically am alive, and as you know, I recently had some a health crisis, and so now that God has saved me and I'm here, I realize that I don't have time to waste. And so I'm doing a number of things that I think are going to be highly impactful in the world today. And I simply am so happy that I can share that on your awesome show, MetaMind Shift.
I'm so happy that you're going to be able to share that too here in a minute. But you said something that triggered me. So first of all, or not triggered me, but triggered something in me. And so first of all, we are happy that you are with us and that you are on the mend and that things are getting better. And so, just continued strides in making sure that you were back to full 100% Ironess, so you can put that out to the world because we need you. But as you were talking, like it absolutely, like I swear, I forget some of the stuff that like I used to do. And so when you said digitization, it reminded me that I had a word for what I used to do. And so what I used to do was take paper documents and turn them into electronic formats. And so I called that electronificationAnd so when you said it, I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot all about that. But it's
That's funny.
interesting how, over time these things they change and they kind of roll into what we're doing now. I think that that was the fascinating point that I had when I came to realize like this is where I was meant to be, was this whole metaverse groove. And it was just that moment when I realized that I had literally spent my whole career taking decentralized organizations and centralizing them in everything from, their processes, streamlining those and turning those into corporate policies and procedures, and streamlined processes in terms of the software that people use, instead of having like all these different applications that they use for to accomplish one thing, like streamlining them into one specific thing. But then also just doing that for whole entire organizations. On an enterprise level, like that's something that I used to do. And then, like when you talked about changing that documentation, a portion of that was also changing over paper documentation into electronic formats.
Quite
And
right.
so all these things are, it's like, yo, I was built for this.
Yeah.
So like all my
I was
experience
born to do this. You
culminate.
know what? It's so funny because Jamil and I got, well, if anyone doesn't know, Jamil is my business partner. He and I started in 2020 putting together a podcast that was debuted in March 2021 at the height of the NFT boom and excitement. And basically, you know, we were having this conversation yesterday about my past, you know, and my sort of family history, which is relevant to one of the companies that we're building right now. But it, you know, the idea is that my great grandfather was the first African American man to actually buy mechanized farming in Natchitoches, Louisiana. And basically he was, you know, he was born in 1874. And so I'm thinking about myself, you know, now in 2022, and I'm all involved in the blockchain. And so it's kind of like, wow, okay, so I have this, you know, maybe I didn't know this, but I have a history, right? I have this history of futuristic, progressive, technical, you know, technology involved ways of doing things. And so that feels good to know that I have that history and I have that legacy. And so it feels right. It feels good. And it just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I love, you know, kind of you are doing things with your roots all the time. And you know, you have some great things going on over there in Connecticut. So I remember you saying that, you know, you were inheriting a farm. And so that comes out of some tragedy, but it's something that can be put to so much good, you know, and just being able to persevere and keep that alive and keep that going, you know, when others have gone on before us. I think that that's really kind of powerful. But I don't want to get bogged down in that. What I want to do is talk to you about what you are doing in terms of the blockchain and grants and the future and all of that, because we got a little bit of time, but man, yeah. I got so much to talk to you about. So Ira, you are the go-to when it comes to grants and funding. And I'm going to just say that, and I'm going to say it loud. And I don't know if you want me to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah, like that's how I make a large portion of my money. I basically
there we go.
Help people make money.
There we go. I do. So you're needed. You're needed everywhere. And, you know, tell us a little bit about the project that you have going on. What are you doing?
So I'm working on developing a startup that is a grant AI driven platform. And it's called GRAM, Grant Research Writing and Award Management .com. At this point, you can access it. And it's https://GRWAM. So I like to joke about it and call it GRAM, because that's what it sounds like. It's exactly the way it's described. So Grant Research Writing and Award Management, GRWAAM.com. And there will be other ways that you can access it as well. I'll probably buy gram.com, all the list of domains, the .ais, the .ios as well. But the idea behind Gram is to basically simplify grant writing. And basically right now you can go to gram.com and you can schedule a conversation with a member of my team. And we will walk you through understanding your project or your grant need. And then literally from there, we create an actual, you could call it a letter of intent, short form grant. And it gives you your goal, your objectives, your simple narrative, and some other additional information. It's GRWAAM.com, and it gives you some additional information that you can use to submit a letter of intent. If you want anything that includes a whole grant package, a proposal package, we can do that too. And that would include like a timeline or scope of work, if you will, budget narrative, and any additional information that goes on with that, including meetings, conversations with program officers at Foundation. So if you know where you want to get the money, we can help you go directly into creating an entire proposal package. Costs for this service is at least $500 to start. And again, it's just a conversation. And from that conversation, we're using AI to actually generate your initial letter of intent, if you will. And then anything beyond that, creating the full proposal submission package, the cost goes from there. And then in addition to that, once you get the funding, you're able to contact us or work with us to actually handle your awards management. So reporting tends to be an issue for organizations. I was talking to a friend of mine who's working with a nonprofit, and she said, yeah, you know, we get the funding, but we don't, you know, handling all of the reporting tends to be a burden. You know, figuring out all the various pieces and managing the grant and all of that. So we will actually manage your award as well. And we will also handle the reporting after the award. And then basically the closeout, everything from initiation to closeout, we've got all of that covered. And so you just get in touch, go through the process, schedule a call. And from that call, we can go right into setting you up. Now, some people need the research piece, right? Some people don't know where they want to get the funding in the first place. They don't know who they want to write to. And so for the research component, we can help you out there as well. And so, like I said, you know, just get in touch with us and you can actually figure out, we can figure out all of the needs that you might have and how to serve you. And it, you know, the idea, it's grant writing simplified.
That's hey. The yeah. Simplified. Full stop, full service, grant full writing, stop. Research, and award management. And so,
yeah.
You know, like, so I come from, well, I used to be the director of professional services for a software company that maintained a solution that supported the federal bid capture and propose process.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that's a pain in the hoo-ha. And so what you're doing is a desperately needed service for a lot of folks. It's just on the grant side. So, yeah, keep up the good work.
Yeah, well, I do want to, and I appreciate that. And I do want to mention that a lot of, you know, a lot of times I'm working primarily with startups and other companies, because a lot of times what happens is businesses who want to be able, that want to be able to access contracts and grant fund government funding, mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty, it's the same process, right? You have to find what bids are out there. If you're going to go to your state portals, you can use those to find what you may qualify for. And then it really is a numbers game. So the more, you know, the more bids you respond to and the more proposals you submit, the more opportunity you have to actually get funded. But it's a numbers game, so you have to constantly be able to do it. So what would it be like if you just could basically schedule a 20-minute meeting, have a conversation, and from that conversation within a matter of 24 hours, pay $500 and actually have the content constantly application after application being submitted for you.
Wow. So, you know, so that's the AI piece then is yeah. kind of that piece. Okay. So yeah.
That's how we go about being able to quickly get it done. And the AI research piece for me right now is we want to develop our own semantic language model to actually allow or enable other people to use this tool. But for now, the tool is in-house and we're able to actually utilize it in order to get your needs met. But eventually we will scale and be able to create a way that simplifies anyone, you know, like yourself, or anyone who might want to press a button, have the letter of intent automatically generated, and have you, you know, work with us further to not only manage the award, but also if you need research, you know, that kind of help, we can do that too. So, yeah.
There's so many cool things that are out here and available now that make repetitive processes a lot less tedious now that we have automation and we have AI. And so when it comes to things like writing a proposal, I see the benefit and kind of why some people would hold out on not wanting to do that. So the benefit is obviously because one, there's speed, but two, there's also the idea of you know, not having to hire these huge teams of people to put this thing in order. And so then a service like this becomes really, really attractive. What do you say to a specific kind of concern that, you know, maybe it wouldn't fit, maybe not so much on the grant side, but definitely in the bid capture and propose side? I know that there's specific requirements for submission. So you got to have a certain font, you got to have a certain this, a certain that. It's got to be centered or justified or put directly, you know, 14 bullets below and not 15 and do this kind of thing. So what does that look like when you're creating the overall grant? Is there still a human touch in there?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where we start. And I think that's important because if there was no need for that human component, then obviously you would not be able to get, you know, everything that you need sort of customized, right? So if that need wasn't there, you'd be able to do it yourselves and it'd be something that would have already happened. But that's the issue. You know, people need professionals in order to help them figure out exactly how to deliver, particularly for grants, because as I always tell people, that program, you know, speaking to the program officer and forming a relationship with that person is probably the most important thing that you can do when you're submitting a grant. And even when you're actually learning about the funder requirements and going through the process of submission, having that relationship with someone who might be in the room when the conversation is happening about your submission is so important. You know, that person might be in the room, but not have a vote. So I think it's really important that people are aware of the fact that, you know, AI is great and it's helpful because it helps to automate and simplify and expedite. What's the word I'm looking for? But yeah, it helps to expedite the process, right? Being able to push a button and produce some type of output that you need. But you still need a person to be able to help walk you through the steps that are going to be there when you are applying for certain types of funding, particularly with contracts, because yeah, there's a lot of reading of the funder, the government's documentation and requirements. And so you do need someone who can actually help you do that and do that also at scale. And so that's our goal, like getting to that point where we can have a great large enough team to actually be able to walk numerous companies through that process. We're small right now, but we're always looking for funding ourselves, startup funding as well.
Yeah. Fund this project right now.
Absolutely.
Support the person who's helping us get the money. Fund her. You know, there's so many different spaces where we could take this conversation, but I want to take it back just for a second. So when we started, you kind of talked about projects that you were doing with libraries. And as you were talking, I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if somebody who just had a whole bunch of time could literally take every page from every single physical book and mint that onto the blockchain as an NFT? I think that, you know, that stuff like that, like, I'm
you're a mad woman, Nicole. Having worked in libraries for like 20 some years, that is insane. And that is, that's what is that, the Guggenheim project? Or there's a project that, you know, people who talked about that, right? Yeah. Trying to figure that piece out. But, you know, there's so many issues around documents of different types and sizes and content. And, you know, we're talking about items that are ancient. I was fortunate enough to participate in a conference in Ethiopia back in 2008, I think. And it was shortly after President Obama and his family had been to Ghana. So yeah, I think it was 2009. And basically we were 40 some odd African countries represented at the UN Center in Addis Ababa. And the conversation was, how do we create a way to know what types of digital preservation projects are occurring around the continent, and also to be able to educate people to actually save a lot of these ancient documents that were in the you know, that were buried oftentimes in the floors at people's homes, to keep them preserved. So they'd be buried in the ground where they stay cool. But many of those papers, many of those ancient documents had literally gone, you know, were tattered. And, you know, like I said, they were not going to be able to survive. Like if you'd pick them up, they'd be falling apart, you know? So it's a lot of knowledge that has not survived, a lot of wisdom. But, you know, we have these new ways to sort of continue to preserve things. We preserve using crystals. We preserve using DNA now. So that, you know, there's all kinds of ways now.
It is, but the blockchain, I think, is the best way. And so if we can take each of those and get like digital copies in and solidified, cemented into the blockchain, I think that that would be pretty fantastic. It's a huge undertaking. And, you know, it probably would never actually be done because we're producing books at like 8 billion a day, it seems. But somebody's got a book coming out every 4.5 minutes. But, you know, to especially with the older ones, getting that information sealed in, make sure that means that we can preserve it for the future and for future generations forever, or as long as blockchain technology is immutable. So that would be amazing. I think it'd be a huge endeavor, but somebody's got to do it. It ain't gonna be me, but somebody needs to do that. I'll put that idea out there. It's out there now. It's around the world. It's on the entire globe is listening to me, of course, because they're all watching the Meta Mindshift show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. So that is happening. I said it, and y'all need to go out and make that happen. Let me know that it's
well. You know what? This is something that, let me say this. This is something that I have friends, obviously, work in libraries. And I think that this is something, I've done research on which libraries, who's having a conversation about blockchain. It just isn't at the time that I was doing this research, and we might call it as the beginning of the year. And I cannot say today exactly what that looks like. There was one library organization that was starting to sort of, they were having the conversation. It was one. And so it was really telling to me, because there were, what that said is that there's a lot of people who still don't understand what the blockchain is. And we know this. And I think even in libraries, especially as a librarian, I know what it's like to sort of have my head down, trying to support, you know, at least the technology that's required, right? Librarians have always been in the forefront of the technology that's been required in order to make sure that people can have access to knowledge. Okay? And this is a fact. Yet at the beginning of this year, I still, in my searches, in my research, had not seen where there was more than this one particular group of folks who had put together some information around the blockchain and began to explore that conversation. And so this is something that I want to talk about more in library space, as I've been out of library space for a while now. I kind of totally shifted. I went into consulting after I left Cornell. And then now, primarily, I work with startups, and I work on the fundraising and advising side. So, you know, My goal is to get crazy wealthy financially, and then I can do all the projects that I want to and support businesses still. And I think just simply at a scale that is different than what I'm doing right now. But, you know, I agree with you. We need to be able to preserve as much knowledge as possible and also make sure people have access to it.
Yo, so I am just loving this moment, but we have to shift. And the reason I love this moment is because it's two sisters talking about nerdy things like AI and libraries. And that's like, right. It's perfectly normal.
It's totally normal. These are the things we love to talk about.
Absolutely love it. So we're going to shift gears and we're going to take things in a whole different direction. And we're going to start with that right behind you. So right behind you, you have an image. Can you tell us about this image? We don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want to get to what you are doing and where you're heading with your podcast, as well as how you achieved this glorious imagery. And so we can talk about that a little bit. We have on the show talked about AI before. What are you doing, Ira?
What am I not doing? I likely need to simply be mostly spending my time sleeping and resting. But one of the things that I'm doing right now is we are Jamil Ahmed and myself, who is my business partner and co-host of the Black Tech Futures Media podcast. We stopped doing the podcast during, I think, the summer, late summer. And now we are starting it again. We will release our first show of our revamped podcast on Monday, October the 10th.
Yay. And basically, where can we watch that?
You can watch it at blacktechfuturesmedia.com. We've got the, I'm going to put the link here so that you'll see it come across the ticker. It's on YouTube and you'll be able to see it. And I think your technical producer will have to look for it because, on YouTube, because I just don't have the exact link. Well, actually I won't do this. I won't do this.
I'll find it. We got this. Cause I've been there before.
Yeah. You've been there before, quite literally. But the idea there is, we're starting a new podcast called What You Doing Web3. And the idea behind that podcast is to showcase news as well as interviews. And as well, we'll have ads. You can purchase ads and the community can actually connect with us, tell us what they're doing, let us know how we can also get involved, how we can help, how we can support. And then also how folks can access some of the very unique and amazing things that are happening in the Web3 space. So we're wanting to talk to developers, we're wanting to talk to Web3 people in the gaming space. We're interested in folks who are building various types of anything from blockchains, if you will, build anything like websites, dApps, you know, all the amazing things, even if you're working in the Web2 space with an eye towards integrating Web3 content. If you're interested in NFTs, if you're a creator, we want to also talk to you. So What You Doing Web3 is going to air on and stream on YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, and a variety of other places wherever you can access Black Tech Futures Media. And we're excited about it, you know, because we're still doing a half hour podcast. We're going to stream that every week. Sometimes it'll be pre-recorded. Sometimes it will be live. And beyond that, I'm just involved in so many awesome things here in Connecticut. Everything from getting money out to folks who are Black business owners and at the point of inspiration, developing startups. So I'm involved in pitch competitions and I'm involved in CT CryptoCon, which is going to be happening. We have a mixer coming up at the end or at the beginning of November on the 11th of November. So 11/11/2022, very auspicious day. And we're really excited, man. There's so much that I'm involved in that I'm really enjoying, and life is amazing right now. So that's one thing, man. That's, you know, the podcast I'm really excited about, because I've, you know, we talk about technology a lot. One of which is one of the things that you and I have talked about is how the technology has shifted from Web 2, right? Definitely to Web 3. And so I'm not sure what the food for thought. I think this is definitely Black Tech Futures Media, but I'm not sure with the logo food for thought. And I'm thinking it's just obviously some of the same issues with technology still persist. Like, you know, connecting certain things to things that they're supposed to be with. But definitely Black Tech Futures Media is where we are. Absolutely. And that's how you can access the podcast and as well in a variety of other places.
So, Ira, do you have a few minutes so we can show you can show us what you were talking about?
And this is specifically what you asked me. So that's the segue to the other thing that Black Tech Futures Media is going to be doing is I have a website called Street Prints. That's PRINTZ. And we are creating our own line of merch. And the merch is basically we're starting with hoodies and we're starting with various prints that we've got going on. And so one of the things that we've got, I forget, I've got to actually present. So let me do that real quick. So you can see, because I looked at it, but I'm like, wait, you guys.
But keep talking though.
But anyway, what you'll be able to see is you're actually going to be able to see a design that I've been working on. And this is just one of many. So what you're looking at is one of the designs. And what this is, if you can see my screen, Nicole.
Yep, we got you.
Awesome. And so what you've got here is a portion of, so you've got this image.
Yo, which, that's hot.
So one of the things that I really thought was important is to envision, as we are Black Tech Futures Media, right? Mm-hmm. To envision what the future looks like as it relates to identity and as it relates to what we know about African identity. So anything over 100 years, you know, as I learned when I was in this room in Addis Ababa, talking to all of these wonderful and amazing curators and museum and library professionals on the continent, I learned that anything over 100 years is ancient. And so one of the things that I haven't seen and I think is important when we're talking about AI, so I'll go ahead and get in that conversation. This is actually an Igbo. So the reference here, this is a representation of an Igbo tribe, an Igbo tribal African mask in the year 2055. And so the reference for this image is an Igbo mask from the Igbo tribe in Nigeria, northern Nigeria. And this is the design is in a sort of cubist form, if you will. And this is using dream.ai, so Dream AI. Mm-hmm. And basically what you're looking at is reference image that I identified by basically taking all of the named African tribes. It was a lot of them, lots of different tribes, but basically this is one of many. And so I produced this image, and what I have here is one of the first t-shirts. And this t-shirt or this, this print is representative of a brand that we will have available through Black Tech Futures Media. And the natural language or the semantic language processing that I use to generate this image in Dream AI is Igbo African Mass 2055. And it's African Mass futurist reference image. And so the idea here is helping the public understand that this particular image on this t-shirt or this hoodie is a mask that is representative of what we imagine 2055 an Igbo mask appearing, looking like.
Wow. I love this. I love everything that you are doing. When we talk about creating artwork, like we've talked about that here on the show, I've shown some of the things that I've created with AI. I think the most recent collection that I did. So first of all, I did the 30 Days of Metaverse in July. I think that was July. Again, time moves differently on this side of the world.
I think it was last year. I feel like it was June and July. Yeah.
Yeah, it was June. I don't know. It was around there. It was summer. yeah, for sure. And so definitely did the 30 Days of Metaverse, but all of that was generated with AI. I think I chose for most of those, I did Starry AI. And then right after that was when everybody, or I guess during the middle of that was when everybody was like waking up to AI generated art. Because only few people knew and were doing stuff with it before like Google rolled out DALL-E. And so Midjourney and DALL-E came out and a few others came out. I didn't even know about Dream until today, but Dream has been out for a minute. But, you know, these AI tools are out here and they are changing and revolutionizing everything we do. I see what you've done, and this literally is media. So this can be used for a flyer. It can be used for a t-shirt. Right. It can be used for a hat, hoodies, like all that. And it's like, let's put that on a cup. And it's all generated with the power of your words.
I want to throw in one piece, though, Nicole. What's important about these designs and what's important about these hoodies is the fact that they will be wearables. And so what people are familiar with right now is LNQ, Idris Sandu's brand, and the understanding that what you're looking at, as I mentioned, you have the semantic language that I use to create the actual design. And the reference image information right beneath that, you have the AI generator that I use to produce it. And then right beneath that is the actual longitude and latitude of Nigeria. And then basically beneath that, you see it's Street Prints, which is my brand. You'll be able to go to streetprints.com. And then beneath that, obviously blockchain your brand. That's what we're promoting now. That's our tagline. We will be registering that. And then the rest of this, to understand this, is these hoodies will be enabled with NFC tags. And so these hoodies will be NFTs, and you can actually point your phone or walk by them, anyone who's wearing one of our hoodies, and you can gather information on the owner as well as other marketing data that'll be important to know about these hoodies. So not only where to get them, but anything else such as any events or other types of information that'll be important to know, things that are happening with Black Tech Futures Media. So this is something that is really near and dear to my heart. Hey. And I'm really excited about. And this is part of the game, man. Part of what we're doing.
Let's go. I want to thank you so much for coming through. We're always happy to see you. Always happy. You are welcome back anytime you want to come through. You and Jamil both. Yeah. And maybe we'll have him too.
I was sending him the StreamYard. I say, you should surprise
him. I would love to see a Jamil pop up. I love Jamil. But we got to go. So thank you so much for coming through. I got to run through some announcements. Everybody follow Ira, connect on blacktechfuturesmedia.co and check her out. Check out everything.
blacktechfutures.media. That's how you find us.
There we go. My bad.
Graham.com is how you also find me.
We'll have that in there. We'll make sure that it's there. Thank you, Ira. We appreciate you. All right, y'all. Man, we had a blast today. I hope that you enjoyed that as much as you possibly could. We have some really cool things that are coming up, and we want to make sure everybody is aware of what's going on. So first of all, you already saw the Black Multiverse. We are getting people ready. We are heading into holiday season. So if you need events set up in the metaverse, if you want to honor a community, we are setting out and setting forward our Halls of Fame. So the Black Multiverse Hall of Fame. We're starting off with the Black Multiverse Speakers Hall of Fame. And so we are putting that together for 2022 and 2023. So we will be reaching out to you with the team here over at Black Multiverse to get you set up. So if you are a speaker and you want to be on that list and in that number, reach out at speakers@blackmultiverse.io. I have an info session that is happening on the 8th. So make sure that you connect with us for that. I am also hosting Discover the Metaverse. So this is a series that is happening. I am a consultant. I do help people understand and discover the metaverse through my business technical consulting. So please, if you want to dip your toes into the metaverse, you're looking for an introduction, tap in with me at metamindshift.com. You can register right there on the links that are available for you. And then Black Multiverse. Black Multiverse is also hosting every Tuesday and Thursday of this year. So the rest of the year, we are hosting a Google Basics series. And so while everything that we do is literally about decentralization, we have partnered with Google to provide skills in Web 2. So if you need some skills, if you don't know how to use some of the basic elements that are out here, then please tap in with us and make sure that you are attending those. These courses are free. We are going to cover a whole lot of stuff. And so we had a session today that covered calendar and Gmail. We had sessions last week that went over the basics of Sheets, Slides, and Google Docs. So again, if you don't know how to use any of those things, if anything that I said to you sounded foreign, then it's time for you to tap in. Finally, I'm going to follow up with thanks to our speakers, starting with... And I said, thanks to our speakers. I literally meant a thanks to our sponsors, starting with the EE Testing Center out in California. We want to make sure that you connect with them. If you have any testing needs and you need to get a certified test completed or a Pearson test or something like that of that nature, please do a CLEP test. Tap in with them because they are doing some amazing things out there. Also want to remind you that I do accept donations. So check into my actual Cash App, which is right there on the screen. You are able to send me anything you would like to, and I definitely will appreciate it. In addition to that, we want to say thank you to all of our sponsors, and I am not finding my sponsors. Where are my sponsors? My sponsors are gone. And so just want to say thank you to all of our sponsors, and that includes Black Multiverse Enterprises, that includes Blackverse, the Metaverse community, that includes Artsy and VR, Technical Consulting, the EE Testing Center, the Black Business Olympics, Black Business Network, and the Black Business Expo USA. So we are grateful and delighted to have everyone here as a sponsor. And guess what? Your brand goes here too. So make sure that we get that listed here so that we can add you to our sponsors list because we appreciate your support. We are going to have some product demonstrations and some metaverse demonstrations and things like that of that nature. So please tap in if you want to get your product showcased. And it does not have to be a metaverse-related item. You can absolutely do that with literally anything. And finally, I want to say my name is Nicole Maxwell. I want to say thank you for tapping in and tuning in. This is your host, Technical, and I am, my voice is resting. I want to say thank you once again. Don't forget to catch us next week like and subscribe no matter where you are. If you're watching us on Amazon Prime, Hulu, Roku, Twitter, Spotify, Google Cast, Google Chrome, LinkedIn, YouTube, or on the Black Business Network or Pod TV. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your week. This is Nicole, and my voice is resting.